ZeroDebt100.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. My name's Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all the nooks and crannies in between, including my favorite, those flyover states. The flyover states are doing okay right now. It's the coastal areas that are having a rough time, especially when it comes to Mother Nature, and that's what I'm referring to. An earthquake, 5.8 on the Richter scale is what they say it measured, hit just outside of Richmond, Virginia. They could really feel it in Washington. They evacuated the Pentagon, the Capitol areas, certainly the monuments. The Washington Monument had a little crack on the top. They got to figure out how they're going to repair that. That'll be closed for a while. All the memorials, in fact, were shut down, including the Smithsonian, and some opened up later in the day, but the majority stayed closed. There was problems with transportation, and people were a little shook up because Washington and New York, same thing. Washington and New York were both hit on 9/11. Here we are inside 3 weeks of the 10-year anniversary of that, and people in the East are not used to earthquakes. In California, this would be just a blip on the radar screen, but in the East, when a building has that slow sway and you can feel it underneath you, but you're not really quite sure what it is, it is kind of scary, right? Then you later learn that, oh, okay, it was this quake, and we haven't had that, and it's been 70-some years before we even had a quake, and certainly not of this magnitude. So there was a little bit of damage, a few bumps and bruises, but nothing serious where anybody was killed, thank goodness. That's the best news in all of this. But right behind this earthquake is Irene. Is the storm that we've been telling you about. Right now, Cat 2. It keeps changing on the hour, and that's weather. Up to a Category 2, we're talking about pretty serious winds, and it looks like the path that it's on is headed smack dab for the eastern coastal areas like the Outer Banks. Probably that could be where the eye of it hits. Right now, that's how it looks. But we still have a couple of days before that happens, so there's always the chance that things could change. But people there are being told to prepare, so that means they're used to this, that this happens at least maybe every couple of years. Run to the hardware stores, make sure they have the boards. There's a lot of people have hurricane shutters, although hurricane shutters, I'm told, no matter how good they are, don't work when you're talking about a crazy category storm. Still, you have to try to prepare for this, and you make sure you have your flashlights and everything you need in case the power goes down. There's a great chance of that. When you've got 60 and 80 and 100 some mile an hour winds, they hit the power lines, poof, that's gone, like the trees, in other words. And most likely that's what some of the people would experience there. And could be serious, serious damage. So I hope that it steps back even from a Category 2 and it goes back to a Category 1, but at this point, it's still too early to predict. It'll happen Thursday into Friday for sure, whatever it ends up being, whether or not it's a terrible storm or something much, much bigger. Muammar Gaddafi has been MIA, and we have some breaking news. Gaddafi has now called on Libyans to free Tripoli. He did a television speech. So the rebels have overrun Gaddafi's main military compound. As all of you know, we've been talking about it in Tripoli after several hours of resistance. And the leader, or who was the leader for 42 years, was retreating from the city, but he went on the television and said it was a tactical move following massive NATO airstrikes, so that's the reason why he did it. Whew. Retreat was tactical. Pressure for Gaddafi to be gone. Here's the question. How soon till they can pry him out? And will we see more of these dictators who have been you know, just ensconced in their particular areas get booted. Well, we see more than Gaddafi, because look what's happened in Tunisia, Hosni Mubarak, in Egypt, and Syria, al-Assad, how long before he gets out of the way? Could be a little bit longer. And now Gaddafi, who says, I'm here, baby, and you can either kill me or I'm just going to stay here. He refuses. He is not going to bail. So how does this end for Gaddafi? How does this end? I say that there is massive pressure, and I don't think it's going to end. I don't think it's going to end well for Gaddafi. Worst comes to worst, he may be just taking a bullet. He might just be taken out, unless he's taken in and he ends up being tried. Which, for the families of the Pan Am flight that went down over Lockerbie, I would think that would be justice if that were to happen. There's another big story. You remember Dominic Strauss-Kahn, who was the head of the IMF, and his life came to a screeching halt after he supposedly went after a hotel maid in New York at an upper-end hotel and went through months and months of this trial. And there was all kinds of evidence, supposedly, that he had assaulted the maid. And in the end, over this tug-of-war, where he lost the being the head of the IMF and forget about trying to run for pres, although some people think that's still a possibility, he is ultimately freed, all the charges, all that stuff dropped. And in his best French, he answered a couple of questions about being released.
Je suis soulagé pour ma femme, mes enfants, mes amis, tous ceux qui m'ont soutenu pendant cette période, en envoyant aussi des lettres, des emails.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Anybody understand French? Parlez-vous français? Basically, in a nutshell, he said that he did not do it. You know, that's the thing. He just wanted everybody to, you know, look, I'm innocent. I did not do it. It's done. I want my life back. I was the head of the IMF. I had so much power. I could do whatever I wanted. I want my power back. Like a kid who wants his bottle back. I want my power. Give it back to me. You stuck me without it. I need it. I thrive. I survive on that power. Who knows? I mean, once you're saddled with that, it's tough to get that credibility back no matter what happens. So I think he's got some splaining to do still. The court might have cleared him, but there's still some things that are a little bit jiggy there. All right, here's what I'm going to throw in just for measure, just for good measure, because we're going to talk about it on a future show. You know, we talk about religion and the role religion plays sometimes here, and we've had different leaders on and stuff. How about this with Delta Airlines? They signed a letter promising to not ask customers their religious affiliation. They say they're not, in the future, they're not going to do it. They're going to ask anyone to say what their religion is before boarding a flight. Wow. Is that true? Is that nonsense? Why? What is that about? Because they're trying to build rapport with the Middle East. Kind of fishy. Kicking the can down the road. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Alan Olson with Midas Resources, senior gold and silver broker since 1978. Over the last 3,000 years, gold has been a storehouse of wealth and has survived nearly 500 paper fiat currencies. Since the 1970s, the fiat U.S. paper dollar has lost over 90% of its purchasing power and is decreasing every day. With the U.S. government that is bent on reckless spending, gold and silver are your only safe havens of protection for your hard-earned paper dollars. Please contact me, Alan Olson, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 127, with your questions or purchases. Let's work together to preserve your assets. 1-800-686-2237, extension 127. Again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 127.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Wow, the second most powerful earthquake, they say, in Virginia's history was felt by millions of people on the East Coast. There were evacuations of all kinds of office buildings, and people were shocked because in the East they're not used to earthquakes. No major injuries that we could find so far have been reported. They're saying that the quake was 5.8 in magnitude if we went to the Richter scale. Hit about 40 miles northwest of Richmond, and it apparently booted cell phone service in a lot of places. How interesting, because we were just talking about the strangeness with T-Mobile on our last show where so many people had problems with that cell service. I don't think the two are related, but can you imagine the way people walk around with their heads down on the phones, what that was like not to have your cell phone? Because I said this before, tell me where you can find a pay phone. Here's the other thing. 2.8 aftershocks, 2.2. Some of that stuff was recorded a little bit later in the afternoon. So it was felt up and down the East Coast. My mother, as many of you know that I've talked about, Kathleen Delaney, lives in the East, just a stone's throw away from Philadelphia in a place called Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Hey, Mom.
Hey, Kate.
So what happened? What did you feel? What was that feeling like and what happened?
Well, I happened to be having a cup of tea at the time, and the house began to shake, and the tea sloshed down the front of me. And I didn't really know what it was, because I'd never experienced an earthquake before, but the floors moved, and the dining room fixture swayed back and forth, and then the doors inside the house were kind of going back and forth. Some slammed, some went back and forth and hit the wall and so forth, and it was very short-lived, but it was just a peculiar sensation because we'd never really had that kind of thing. And we have just small things. So there was a man cutting a lawn, and he was standing there not knowing what to do about it because the earth, the grass was moving too. But other than that, it was very mild, and you knew it had to have been an earthquake, but there was no damage that we could see.
Did they evacuate because I heard that they evacuated buildings up and down the East Coast. Did they evacuate the high-rise buildings in Philadelphia?
Yes. Anything that was maybe above five floors swayed or shook. And so, of course, the taller ones, they immediately told the people to get out. It was basically for security reasons. So what I've seen on our news is the biggest thing that's happened is a couple windows shattered, but there was really no structural damage to speak of. And the only after effect right now is that the high-speed line was shut down and the rail service was delayed so that they could check the tracks. The bridges were checked immediately. And then everyone went out to do the tracks to make certain it was safe to put the trains out.
All right.
Just a little delay in going home.
So you're going to have to get earthquake insurance maybe now.
I don't think so.
All right, Mom. Love you. Thanks so much for that update.
Love you too, Kate. Bye.
Bye-bye. So we talked to my mother, who's in New Jersey, and just down the turnpike in Manhattan, they were feeling this earthquake. I cannot imagine a bunch of New Yorkers trying to figure out what was going on. Our pal Greg Stebbin, one of the editors, of course, of Men's Health magazine, who we have on to talk about a plethora of things, is a Californian who is now living in New York. That had to be an interesting experience. Hey, Greg, thanks for popping on. I gave that introduction where I said you're from California. I'm sure when here you are in New York, you're not expecting an earthquake.
Oh, my gosh. I looked out the window. There were people running out of the buildings, flames shooting out of the building tops, bricks falling to the street, cars careening into each other, people with bloody arms and appendages running down the street. Actually, I'm not sure the people on the street even knew there was a... First, let me tell you, I'm in an old building. I'm overlooking 7th Avenue, pretty much on the approach to the Holland Tunnel. This is a major artery for the city. And I'm in this old building. I, of course, felt the beginnings of an earthquake. And it was a long series. So there were a lot of very strong but smaller quakes. And they're doing construction in the building, in fact, on the floor right beneath me. And I thought they were doing something down there with a jackhammer or something. And when I finally figured out it was a quake, I got up and I did what they trained me in school in California. I went and stood in the doorway, and I turned around. And I cannot tell you, I've been in a lot of quakes in California, including the one that took down the Bay Bridge in San Francisco. Mm. And I could not believe how much the walls were swaying. I was physically watching the walls move back and forth, and I actually looked outside to see if there was a crane outside. I couldn't believe it was an earthquake like that here in New York. And what's interesting as a Californian is it felt completely different from the kind of quakes they have out in California.
Yeah, when you say that was a great description, by the way. Completely different because of how it sort of, it sounds like it unfolded sort of slowly for you as you were trying to figure it out.
I would say there was probably a series of four or five strong shocks, and yet they weren't. In California, you get this jolt, and here it really was much more of a swang. And as part of a couple of these shocks, I literally was staring at the wall, amazed at how much the entire building was moving, and. In California, you get a jolt, so it knocks things off the walls and it knocks things off the shelves. This was a very strong earthquake. Nothing fell. And I think nothing fell because the building was swaying instead of getting jolted. And I'm clearly not a geologist, but my guess is what we'll hear is that the kind of soil or ground formation we have here in New York, also an island, which may make a difference too, is
right.
Very different than what you have in the San Francisco Bay Area.
What was the reaction of the people around you? Were there any people kind of milling around?
Well, I did. I'm in an office alone, and I did run out. And there were other people in the stairways, and some other people had run down to the street before I did. I'm on the 5th floor. So I really, as I was standing in the door jam, was debating, do I leave or do I stay? Also, interestingly, I looked around my office and I thought, what am I going to grab on my way out? I thought about my computer. I did grab my phone and my wallet, and I knew better than to get in the elevator, ran down five flights, and then some of the other people in the building were milling around on the street. But by then it was pretty obvious we had had the major jolt, and that it for some reason I just had a sense that we had probably that it was over and it was probably safe to go back inside.
Yeah, as everybody, I can imagine everybody in New York is buzzing about this. Tomorrow when you're on your way to work, you'll see it's going to be front page news, of course, in the Post and probably the Times, etc. I mean, this is just ripe for that water cooler buzz in New York,
absolutely.
I think.
And in fact, if you go, I was just on the phone with someone from the Huffington Post, and they're on the other side of, you know, they're due east of me, and we were comparing notes, and she's also a Californian, so we were kind of laughing about it. Yeah, and if you go online, all the news sites are, you know, did you feel it? It was a really good earthquake. It was a really good one. And as far as I've seen, I can't see any damage anywhere. I don't see anybody looking concerned. People are walking around the streets of Manhattan right now in front of me, you know, eating ice cream.
Wow, yeah, that's good. But here's the thing, though. You know this, and you talked about the Bay Bridge. I was in that area as well, and that was horrific what happened. Of course, they're terrible what happened to the people in and around San Francisco, so there's no comparison here. But sometimes a building, as you said, the swaying you saw, sometimes that will do something to the building. So I would assume maybe, not the building you're in, but some other buildings that might be a little shakier, they might have to check those buildings.
Well, you know, I don't know. They say this was a 5.9. I don't remember what the California quake, that quake, just to refresh people's memories, was actually during the World Series.
Yeah.
And it was the World Series between Oakland and San Francisco.
Right.
And you couldn't, you know, it was kind of Stephen King-ish.
It was.
You know, there were people heading into the stadium and the bridge collapsed and things like that. And I think that's that jolting action. I don't remember how big of a quake that was, but it seems to me it might have been something like a 7.8 or something.
I think it was.
Dramatically bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, huge difference.
I was about an hour south of San Francisco when that quake hit. I was sitting in a coffee shop with a friend of mine who, she's probably 20 years older than me. And we're sitting there drinking coffee and I felt this jolt. And I literally looked at her and I screamed, "Get under the table!" She told me later she thought I was going to assault her. And I just, you had no idea what was coming, but it was so strong. The last thing I wanted to do was be sitting under a chandelier in a Marie Callender's restaurant.
Yeah, no kidding. What a way to go. With maybe the best pies you might ever have, but I don't know that I would want to go out that way. That's
right.
For sure.
We came for the pie and we stayed for the quake.
Exactly. Get a T-shirt with that on and send it to your friend. Greg Stebbin, as always, fun to talk to you. Glad everything's okay in New York. We appreciate the update.
It's great to be here.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chaga Max capsules to get the energy you need. You deserve it. Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alli-C. Why Alli-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alli-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alli-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alli-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alli-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alli-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alli-C. For more information and to order Alli-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alli-C today.
Your wife owes money to Jackie Treehorn. That means you owe money to Jackie Treehorn.
Ever thus the deadbeat, Lebowski?
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
The other Jeffrey Lebowski, the millionaire.
His wife goes out and owes money all over town and they pee on my rug?
I have to compensate the person?
That rug really tied the room together, did it not?
Mr. Lebowski is prepared to make a generous offer to you.
Why should we settle for 20 grand when we can keep the entire million? Am I wrong?
They're going to kill that poor woman, man.
I'm proposing that you try to recover the money from the people you delivered it to.
Well, I could do that.
Oh, man, one of my favorite all-time movies. You recognize the line? Are you laughing your head off now? Jeff Lebowski, you heard Jeff Bridges. That's who he plays in the movie, The Big Lebowski. He's basically an unemployed L.A. slacker. He's into bowling. He calls himself The Dude. The Dude. Out on Blu-ray. Man, I was so jacked up when our man on the West Coast, Stephen Chouette, sent me an email and said that he wanted to talk about The Big Lebowski. Stephen, how are you doing, man?
Oh, great, Kate. How are you?
Did you like The Big Lebowski?
You know, it grows on me every time I see it. I didn't really like it that much, but I have to admit it grows on me, and sometimes I'm laughing hysterically. It was based largely, not exactly, but the idea came from Raymond Chandler's novel, The Big Sleep, where you don't totally know what's going on. In fact, just a quick anecdote about that. When they made that movie in 1946, either Raymond Chandler or Humphrey Bogart couldn't figure out who killed the chauffeur. So they, I'm sorry, Howard Hawks, the director, and Humphrey Bogart couldn't figure out who killed the chauffeur in that novel. So they actually called up Raymond Chandler, who wrote it, and he says, "Oh, it beats me. I don't know who killed him. I just put it in there." so you know that was one of the elements. And when they were making that movie, Howard Hawks thought, you know, it doesn't matter as long as you put all these fun things in. You know, people don't have to really follow the plot, and that's what the Coen brothers were inspired by when they made The Big Lebowski. And of course, real life people came into it. Two very big characters in the film world. Jeff Dowd, who was in real life one of the Seattle Seven, who had gone to jail for instigating an anti-Vietnam protest, which turned into a riot, and John Milius, who is known to be a real conservative guy in Hollywood, even though if you look what he says, he doesn't always sound that conservative. He said Rush Limbaugh should be drawn and quartered, for example, recently. So he doesn't always come off that conservative, but he's very opinionated. And the idea was that those two characters could get together in the form of the Dude and Walter. One time Jeff Dowd was asked, "Would you be friends with a guy like John Milius in real life, or would you hang out with him?" He said, "Well, if there was gunplay, maybe." So you know, they're definitely an odd couple character. And one of the things that's really funny about the movie is when you think about it, you have the Dude. He's supposed to be this laid-back type of guy, but every scene he's in with John Goodman, he explodes because John Goodman drives him crazy. So he loses his temper quite a bit. So it's one of the funny things that went on in the film.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? The other, because so much of the focus is on Jeff Bridges. No question about it, and of course John Goodman, but Steve Buscemi's in it. Philip Seymour Hoffman also is in this movie.
Right.
Julianne Moore's in it. Tara Reid is in it. John Turturro is in it. Then there's also the Stranger, the cowboy, you know, called the Stranger. Sam Elliott is that guy, and it's crazy. And I agree with you that you watch it. The first time I watched it, I didn't get it either. And then I started to watch it more, and now it is just, I just love it. It's one of my all-time favorite movies, and I really think this is one of the big home runs for the Coen brothers. It's certainly a sleeper cult hit that keeps getting played over and over again at Midnight Features, and it was a big rental and all that stuff. And I think the Blu-ray is going to be successful for that reason. Do you think that?
Yeah, absolutely, and they have Lebowski, festivals every year, sort of like the Star Trek conventions, except the people there, like bowling and drinking like white Russians like the Dude. The funny thing with Steve Buscemi in the movie was that of course, the earlier movie that the Coens had made, Fargo, he was talking everybody's ear off. And so this time they decided to make him go the opposite way and hardly say anything. And even though he doesn't say much, he's constantly told, in a not so nice way by John Goodman to shut up. His comments come to, pretty much at the minimum, although they're sometimes very funny comments mistaking John Lennon for Vladimir Lenin, for example. And then you have Julianne Moore. Her character with an affected voice was somewhat based on Yoko Ono. Of course, the Jesus character that John Turturro played, he thought he would have a much bigger role, and he was only in the movie for like 5 minutes. But he has constantly talked about making a sequel to that, about that particular character, who isn't really a very sympathetic character if you watch the film, but does manage to get some laughs. So there were a lot of elements. The critics, though, did not appreciate The Big Lebowski when it came out in 1998, neither did fans, really. It cost about $17 million, and it only made about $27 million. So its cult status was definitely achieved after the movie came out. And, it's just one of those things that really took off.
Yeah, do you think this is one of the turning points for Jeff Bridges? I guess if you go back and you look at the body of his work, because, boy, this guy can really, I mean, he has serious acting chops. He can bring you to all kinds of places, I think, with all different kinds of characters. Do you feel that way about Bridges?
Absolutely, because people still mention the dude. I mean, that's his alter ego, even more than the other characters he's played, probably, including the character that he won the Academy Award for in Crazy Heart. I mean, this is his most identifiable role, I think, for a lot of people. And obviously, he had been great many times before that. He brought a lot to the part. I mean, he did meet Jeff Dowd, but he basically based the character a lot on himself, living alone in the 70s, and he bought his own wardrobe, and there were a lot of elements of him in the Big Lebowski. So I think definitely, he made the character his own. In fact, Jeff Dowd is kind of a large man, and he thought that John Goodman was the one who was going to be playing him. It's one of those things where once the actors take over, they really stamp their identity on it. And I think that absolutely happened for every actor in this movie. I mean, you can't imagine anybody else but Julianne Moore playing the role. Now, again, there's a lot of people who disagree, a lot of people who find it offensive with all the F-bombs being dropped, a lot of people who think that some of the characters like the nihilist are absolutely ridiculous. So I can't say that everybody's going to enjoy the movie, but it certainly has a lot of fans.
What is it about the Coen brothers? You've seen a bunch of their other movies. You mentioned Fargo. What is it about them and how they produce these films that sometimes have people just laughing in the aisles and they totally get it? And as you just mentioned there, Stephen, some people just cannot relate, I think, to some of the material that the Coen brothers put out.
I think they're risk takers, and you just got to give them credit for that, for going out there and following their own vision. I mean, one of the things that happened with the Big Lebowski was that it kind of looks like it's an improvised movie when you watch it. I mean, but they were actually, all of that stuff was actually in the script. I think they're very respected by the actors, and the thing is that they're writing for particular actors. The Big Lebowski was delayed because John Goodman was on the Roseanne show. Otherwise, they would have made it years before. They waited for him. So just like Tarantino, they have that loyalty to certain actors. And I think that brings out the enthusiasm of the actors. And I think they're willing to go along with however odd and in left field the situation might be. Everybody's going to have different tastes. I mean, I'm personally a big fan of Fargo, and I'm personally not that fond of No Country for Old Men. So, when you take chances, you're not always going to please everybody all the time. But in their case, they're always going to have some interest. And people are amazed by how well they work together and how well they get along. Like Jeff Bridges said that, he loves his brother Bo, but they're both highly opinionated guys, and he couldn't imagine them directing a movie together. So to watch the Coen brothers do it so seamlessly is something that he definitely remarked upon.
Yeah, I think their stuff is just terrific. Stephen Shohat, you are the ultimate storyteller from Hollywood, and if people want to get a hold of your book, how do they do that, Hollywood Stories?
Yeah, the book is called Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies, now available in ebook and in hardcover. HollywoodStories.com is the website. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. But again, the best way is HollywoodStories.com, and the book is called Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. It has over 1,000 anecdotes in it.
I know, it's great. Love it. We'll talk to you again next week, Stephen. Thanks.
You got it, Kate.
All right, The Big Lebowski, as I said, I was so excited when he sent me this note. Only the first time I saw it, I was kind of iffy on it, but I don't think I was hooked in. I think there's little nuances in this movie that are very Coen brother-like, as we were talking about, and you have to pay attention and really watch what's going on with the dude and the kind of crazy schemes and everything that happens in this movie. And I think it's just brilliant. The dream sequences, the crazy unconventional dialogue, and a lot of the other stuff. And the soundtrack really fits this movie, too. Out on Blu-ray, I guarantee I'm getting my copy of it for sure. On the flip side, we got sports shorts.
Take the first step in home security. Install the Door Sentinel. Standard locks, deadbolts, and security systems can't prevent forced entry. The Door Sentinel provides door kick-in protection and can be added to your existing security system. The Door Sentinel is easy to install and will turn your home into a fortress. Make the call. 678-648-6757. That's 678-648-6757. Or visit them at SENTINEL Security Group.com. SentinelSecurityGroup.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Las Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas on 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Why don't Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
The Las Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
There's nothing like a shot at the Little League World Series title when you're a kid. More on the August tournament that draws millions of people next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nesquik. Try Nesquik 4-packs, perfect for lunches and great for kids on the go. Look for it in the juice aisle. Snack time is a great chance to sneak extra calcium into your child's diet without making him feel like he's eating something he doesn't want. Serve up dairy-rich foods like smoothies, flavored milk, frozen yogurt, and string cheese. He'll love the treat, and you'll love knowing how good it is for him. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Each year, the Little League World Series features teams from around the U.S. and now internationally, with boys from 11 to 13 years old. The tournament first kicked off in 1947. The U.S. has claimed the most titles with 32. There are 16 teams divided into pools playing in a double elimination bracket. Now, the winners of those pools advance to a single elimination format for U.S. international championship games, eventually two, vie for the right to be called the World League Champions. Last year, Japan beat Hawaii 4-1 in the championship game to win the international bracket's first title in 5 years. The team was undefeated throughout. The game is so popular, people wait for hours to get a seat. It's free for all spectators. Because of high demand for the World Championship game, the tickets, though, are handed out for a random drawing. Lucky 45,000 fans get to watch. This is the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. All right, speaking of the Little League World Series, big news out of South Williamsport, Pennsylvania. The hometown crowd, it was psyched because... Yep, Pennsylvania moves on. The favorites from Clinton County had a very, very rough start to their game against Georgia, a six-run first inning, but they ultimately scored a bunch of runs. They held on with a 7-5 win Tuesday over Warner Robins, Georgia, before the crowd was just going crazy at this stadium where they can seat 45,000 people, and they have a random drawing to determine who gets to go in for some of these games because it's gotten that crazy. That many people are going to watch the Little League World Series, and as I mentioned in my piece, it's been around since 1947. Can you imagine? So it's the Keystone Little League in Clinton County. So another huge win for them. They apparently have a couple of really good players, including a 13-year-old closer who got it done once again. His name is McCloskey, Tyler McCloskey. And he's helped the team, I guess, throughout this little run that they're having. We'll see how long they can hold on. Wow, that's got to be crazy for those kids. By the way, Japan shut out Canada, since we're talking about that. And that was 4-0. Rhode Island and the Netherlands tangled, and Rhode Island got the better of the Netherlands, 8-7, just a run separating those two clubs from the win column and the loss column. Here's what's interesting. You know, we talked about the earthquake at the top of the hour. An earthquake that hit Virginia, was centered there, rattled the stadium during the game. The metal tables that were bolted to the concrete floor on press row started to shake for several seconds. Play didn't stop, and the players on the field said they didn't really feel anything, but the people in the stands felt something and wondered what was going on, if there was anything wrong. The Little League officials took a look at the little stadium, and they said that they had a structural engineer look at it, and they determined that it was fine for all the people to be there in the stands, but they did do that, even though some of them had no clue what was even going on. Since we're on sports and that kind of stuff here, as part of Odds and Ends on America Tonight before we head for the exits, this is a sad story about longtime Tennessee hoop coach Pat Summitt, who has said that she's got an early onset of dementia. She's been diagnosed with it, and she says even though she's been given that grim diagnosis, that she doesn't want a pity party, and that she wants to still continue to do what she's doing. She said that she was feeling erratic, and she didn't know what it was, went and got a bunch of tests and realized, that's what they came back with anyway. So she's going to take medication and exercise as much as possible, because this is a condition that could lead to Alzheimer's, and it's something that her grandmother had, so it's something that, runs in her family. And initially, she thought that the symptoms were some kind of side effects from medicine she was taking for arthritis, and she decided she was going to talk about it publicly, say that she wants to fight it, and then she was going to just keep doing what she was doing. She's going to continue to be involved in hoops. You think just a couple of years ago, I can remember vividly the picture of her cutting down the nets, and her eyes were full of tears after Tennessee beat Stanford in 2008, and it was the eighth Lady Vols NCAA title. I one time had a conversation with one of the best basketball coaches, I think, of all time, and Bobby Knight, and he told me that he thought the best coach, I said, who do you think's the, barring himself, besides himself, I took him out of the equation, who do you think's the best basketball coach in college hoops? And you know what he said? Pat Summitt. He said she's the best. Look at the record and, what she's been able to accomplish. So that's pretty grim news to be given that, even though you've dealt with that in your family before. I'd say that's got to be rough, and certainly for players and close friends who heard that news along with Pat Summitt, because some of them were shocked when she did a She did a couple of interviews on ESPN and a few other places, and they had no idea that that's what was going on with her. All right, here's another quick one for you, too. What a dummy, Kyle Busch. Any of you who follow the great sport of left turns, you know, round and round again, Kyle Busch is certainly one of the best drivers around, right? He's a points leader, by the way. So he might get the Sprint Cup title this year, but they're going to have to drive him to the track. Yeah. What did he do? He went 128 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour speed zone. He was out on a back road near Mooresville, North Carolina. So they fined him $1,000. They placed him on a year of unsupervised probation and ordered him to do 30 hours of community service. So he did avoid an automatic year suspension of his driver's license after the judge offered a prayer for judgment continued on the reckless driving charge. And he was grateful, I think, after that. Whew. 128. I don't know, Matt, what do you think? 128 in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. I get the backwoods thing or the back roads thing, but he's got to know the difference between a track and some of those country roads, don't you think?
Yeah, it sounds almost high school-ish.
It does.
You know
what I
mean?
That's exactly what I thought.
It sounds a lot like that. You know, you're all by yourself trying to open it up on a back road, get all over your ride. I understand it. I don't know. I he's a race car driver. It shouldn't be done. It's obviously illegal, but at the same time, it's not unexpected. It's almost Days of Thunder-ish.
He does kind of look like Tom Cruise in his younger days, a little bit with the cap on anyway.
He probably doesn't have to wear the lifts on his shoes, though.
Referring to Tom Cruise's stature, which is rather small. So, how about that? Kyle, baby, what are you thinking? And, you know, Matt says he gets it. He's a race car driver. He gets the idea of opening it up. But please, come on. 128? I mean, the car had to be rattling all over the place. Ugh, had to be. All right, we haven't even mentioned this, and we're going to close with this. This is a perfect thing to stop odds and ends with and to send you to the exits for this hour anyway. Hurricane Irene has weakened a little bit, but really is expected to pick up some severe winds. I mean, they're even saying as a Cat 1, it could blow up to maybe a Cat 3. So in Turks and Caicos, there they had some punishing winds that were just howling over the islands and southeastern Bahamas, too. The way it's looking now, it looks like it's going to hit the Carolinas, the Outer Banks, and go on up the coastline. But how heavy it'll be as far as the rains, what the category will be, all that kind of stuff, a little bit up in the air. So, you know, keep your fingers crossed that it's not going to be a 3 or a 4, because that would do some serious damage. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.